Hundreds of thousands of participants flooded San Francisco's Market Street for blocks today for the city's 56th annual LGBTQ+ Pride Parade. Combining a community march, a political rally, and a joyous street party, the march route wound from the Embarcadero to the Civic Center, starting as per tradition with hundreds of dykes on bikes roaring off in the lead. Among the first groups stepping off into the parade were those carrying a rainbow banner that read, "Disarm Hate," and another carrying a bright yellow banner that read, "Trump Must Go, Refuse Fascism." Suzanne Ford, executive director of SF Pride, said this year's SF Pride theme is resistance in action.
I want to tell them here in San Francisco, we celebrate queer people and we want everyone to be out today. Allies, queer people, I want to show that we can do this together. The people that came here to spectate, that was resistance. The people behind me marching, that was resistance.
The SF Pride Parade capped a weekend of activism, beginning with the trans march from Dolores Park to the Tenderloin on Friday and the dyke march from Dolores Park to the Castro District yesterday. New York City and Chicago also saw hundreds of thousands of participants in their pride parades today. This Pride Month is a celebration of the contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex people in our community. I asked Doug Curtis, Chief Legal Officer for Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund, which focuses on LGBTQ+ rights, to talk about the challenges faced by the queer communities, such as the rollback of trans rights. Vice President J.D. Vance responding to San Francisco Giants baseball players wearing biblical messages on their hats at a Pride celebration event by saying there is no need for apologies because there's a new sheriff in town, and members of the Supreme Court pondering revisiting the marriage equality decision, although with little probability of success. There's also a recent emphasis on hyper-masculinism, with polls showing young men are becoming less tolerant of LGBTQ+ people, and similar things indicating a slowing down, if not reversal, of acceptance of the LGBTQ+ community.
I feel like every Pride season, somebody asks me some version of, is this the backlash and is it winning and what's going to happen to our rights? And I always want to gently turn that question around a little bit, because what 50 years of this work has really taught us is that a reaction or a backlash in one moment just isn't the opposite of progress. It's really the proof of progress. Nobody fights this hard against a movement that's standing still. And I genuinely feel like the pushback and the reactions that we're seeing right now, they're what it looks like when you've won so much that the other side is really fighting the tide going out. Every civil rights movement in this country has had the same arc. We win something, the other side panics and they push back, and then we win again even bigger. And we've seen this movie before. And I feel like this is, yes, these are not the best of times for moving forward, but they're part of a broader arc of history. In a sense, when the Supreme Court decided the marriage equality decision, Obergefell, it was really the high watermark for us in a lot of ways. And there were people who thought that the fight for LGBTQ+ rights was probably over at that point and we could stop the fight. Obviously, that wasn't the case. There were going to be people who were going to push back. And between the Trump administration version one and the Trump administration version two, and then what we see happening in a lot of the states where really LGBTQ+ people, but principally trans people, are being used as scapegoats for all kinds of political diversions. I mean, we're certainly seeing on the state level lots of anti-trans bills where sports bans are being implemented, bathroom bills are coming back. We're seeing efforts to ban medical care that's specific to trans populations. And then on the federal level, when President Trump came in for his second administration, he issued a whole bunch of executive orders in the very first days that really did target the whole concept of whether trans people existed. And they've been carrying out a campaign of trying to really deny the reality of LGBTQ+ lived experience and deny their visibility in any kind of official public life or program. And so, yeah, we've had to fight back against all of those things. The good news is, in a lot of ways, we've been very successful.
I asked Lambda Legal's Doug Curtis to reflect on celebrating LGBTQ+ pride as we approach the U.S.'s semi-quincentennial, or its 250th birthday.
250 years ago, when the Declaration of Independence was signed and it gave rise to this great American experiment, there's no question that we hadn't perfected any of it at that point. In very basic ways, we talked about the rights of every person and equality, but it's taken us fully 250 years to see progress on anyone other than a white male propertied class of people. And it's been a gradual expansion over time. I think sexual orientation and gender identity and other issues that are important to the LGBTQ plus community are central to the way that that experiment is playing out over 250 years. And again, it's helpful to take a 250 year perspective, because the truth is, it takes a long time for some of these changes to be made. But if you look at it from the long-term perspective, we've really won a lot of rights over the course of the last 50 years. If you go back to 1968, 69, 70, when Lambda Legal was created, it was criminal to be in a same-sex relationship. To personal intimate relationships were illegal in all states but one. You certainly could get fired from your job, excluded from the country, kicked out of the military just for being gay. Now we have a world where people take for granted that gay people should be able to marry. They shouldn't be discriminated against in housing or employment or in the military. The efforts to roll that back, I think, are a blip. I think we should celebrate the experiment that sees us continuing to expand these rights. And certainly Lambda Legal plans to spend the next 50 years making us all freer and more equal.
Doug Curtis is Chief Legal Officer for Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund, which focuses on LGBTQ plus rights.